Let us turn again to the chapter that we read together. The book of Leviticus, chapter 9, and let us consider verse 22. Leviticus, chapter 9, and at verse 22. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering, and the burnt offering, and peace offerings. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people, and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering, and the burnt offering, and peace offerings. And this chapter has to do with Aaron being appointed to the office of high priest in Israel. And there were various offerings that he was to offer for himself and various offerings that he was to offer for the people. And beyond that, there was the blessing. Well, not going to every part of the chapter, but we will try to learn something. If the Lord would be pleased to bless his word to us, we will try to learn something from the ceremonies that were surrounding the appointment of Aaron as high priest and the blessing that he as high priest was to bless the people. He was to bless the people following on from his appointment, and that was to be part of the work of the high priest in Israel over the generations, until there was no need for a high priest in Israel, because Christ was typified by the high priest Aaron and his descendants, Eleazar and Phinehas in the first instance, and various high priests are mentioned. But what we have is the high priest in Israel as a type, a pattern of the great high priest that was to come, Christ Jesus himself. And we are to be looking to the great high priest, and the high priests in Israel and all that was typical of Christ in the Old Testament. The high priests were intended as a pattern, and therefore they were intended to point sinners to the great high priest. And all the sacrifices that Aaron would offer, and the other priests who were connected with him, and the sacrifices that they would offer, they were to help the Israelites to look forward to the coming of Christ and what he would do. And we, of course, have the benefit that the great sacrifice that Christ was to offer, it has been offered, and we can look back to it. And in looking back to the ceremonies of the Old Testament, we are to think how these were pointing to Christ. And as we look back to these sacrifices and the other parts of the ceremonies of Old Testament religion, we are to be helped, and we are to seek help as we look to what Christ has done for sinners like us. And in thinking about the Lord's Supper and the next Sabbath, we are to think of these things, that we might get at least a little more understanding of what is to take place when the Lord's people will go to the table to eat what is to eat in a physical way, the symbols of the broken body of the Savior, and to drink the what signifies, what points to the poured out blood of Christ. And thinking how one is a pattern of the other, that they would get more light in it, and that there would be an exercise of faith in connection with the eating and drinking these symbols of Christ's broken body and his shed blood. And all that, you see, is pointing to the death of Christ. When the blood was poured out, the blood of Christ poured out, and the blood of the sacrifice in Old Testament times, when that was poured out, it was pointing to the death of Christ. If someone's blood is poured out, they can't be long still alive. They must die very shortly. The great point about the sacrifices, the great point about the Lord's Supper, is that these are pointing to the death of Christ and its benefits. You see, it's not just looking back to the death of Christ that the Lord's people are to do at the Lord's Supper. It's pointing to the spiritual benefits that are to be received in connection with the Lord's Supper. The benefits, you see, and what great benefits they are. What wonderful benefits they are. That's it. And we're to seek to understand these things. And that's the main point at this service, that we would think of the saving benefits, the spiritual benefits that are to be had from being at the Lord's table. The spiritual benefits that are to be had. That's one great matter that we should be thinking about before the Lord's Supper and after the Lord's Supper. And we should be seeking to ask ourselves at that point, did I get any benefit from being at the Lord's table? We're to be asking that question. And it might not be a benefit that is received immediately, but it may be afterwards that God, in his mercy, grants spiritual benefits in relation to the Lord's Supper. Well, I have two main points just now. The first is the offerings, and I'm going to try only to make some general points about the significance of these offerings. Then, as Aaron lifted up his hand, it was in connection with the blessing. Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and then came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. Perhaps it's he was still higher up so that he could take part in laying the animals on the altar, and the specific parts of the sin offering that he laid on the altar, he came down. He had blessed them. It wasn't necessary for Aaron to be blessing the people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No. But we might think of Christ blessing those he brings to himself and blessing those whom he has brought to himself, and indeed, in a sense, blessing those whom he will bring to himself. Making intercession for God, before God. Making intercession before God the Father on behalf of those who are his children and who will be his children. Yes, what a great matter it is, Christ making intercession, not only for those who have become his children, but those whom he is to bring to himself, and doing so that these people would be kept from going further astray, kept from kept from going further away than they have gone already. And that's a great matter for thankfulness, if people have been kept from going further away. But you see, they will be brought back. There will be the blessing. Christ making intercession on the basis of his finished work for bringing sinners to himself, who are, for whom there is a purpose of mercy. We cannot tell anything about that blessing. We cannot tell. But the Lord will bring them back, for whom there is a purpose of mercy. The purposes of mercy are a great matter. The purposes of mercy are a great matter. We cannot tell for whom there is to be these purposes of mercy brought out. That's in the future. Yes, people may feel, God's people may feel, that their children, or at least some of them, will be brought into God's kingdom yet. That is not to be an end of their prayers for them. But they should be asked, and they should have them the work of Christ in view. Whatever it is that there may be in the future, there's to be there to feel encouraged to pray. Yes. But whatever we might feel or not feel, and especially on the basis of a freedom in prayer, perhaps, for these individuals. Yet, the Lord has his purposes, and these purposes will be fulfilled. So we have two things. One, the offerings, and two, the blessing, the blessings that were to follow these offerings. Well, there was to be a series of offerings on behalf of Aidan. You see, this was to be spoken to Aidan, verse 2. Take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. You see, Aidan was a sinner. Aidan was a sinner. But the animals that were to be offered were to be without blemish. And you see, there's various things coming together. And these two things I've just mentioned, they come together as typical of Christ. You see, the animals were to be offered. Christ was to be offered. And Christ to be without blemish, though Aaron was not without blemish, still the animals that were to be offered were to be without blemish. And that was a pattern of Christ. You could only examine the animals from the outside. But the Lord was examining Christ. And what was he finding? He was finding Christ to be without blemish, inwardly and outwardly. Christ without blemish. Yes. We should be thankful that the provision that was made was altogether suitable to our need. We should be thankful that Christ was without blemish. No other Savior would do. Only one without sin. Only one without blemish, without spiritual blemish. That was the only Savior that could do for us. He could have no sin to be taken away. See the contrast between the high priest and the Savior. The Savior has no blemish. But the high priest in Israel, he had blemishes. He was a sinner. And therefore needed a sacrifice to be offered for him. Christ had no need of a sacrifice. But the high priest did. The typical high priest needed to have a sacrifice. And you see, the children of Israel were to be told to take a kid of the goats for a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering. Now, basically, what I said, most of it anyway, about the sacrifices for the high priest, it applies to the people also. They were not saviors in any sense. The high priest in Israel was a pattern of the Savior. The high priest was to offer a sacrifice. The great high priest in Israel who came for the sins of sinners throughout the world. Yes, he came to offer a sacrifice. And the sacrifice that was to be offered, the sacrifices that were to be offered for Israelites, they were to be without blemish and they were to be offered for the sins of the people. They were to be offered for those who needed a sacrifice. They needed a Savior. That's it. They needed a Savior. And God, in infinite mercy, provided a Savior. Is that not a blessing? And you see, seeing there is a Savior, and that the Savior offered a sacrifice. He offered up himself. He offered up himself as one who was without blemish, inwardly and outwardly. Yes, there is hope for us. We should give a close attention to Christ as the Savior of sinners. Christ is the one without blemish who offered up himself. There's the opportunity for salvation made out to us. There's the encouragement associated with that, to have a Savior, to receive a Savior, to pray that the work of the Savior would be applied to us. That's it. That the work of the Savior would be applied to us. And that's made known to us in the free offer of the gospel. It's not us who have to pay the price for our salvation. It's not us who have to give ourselves as a sacrifice. It's not us who have to earn salvation. Christ earned salvation. Christ was able to pay the price, the full price. Yes. There's nothing lacking in the price. Every sinner who will come to Christ will be saved. Every sinner who comes to Christ will be saved. We are to be looking to Jesus. That's what we are called to do. He says, look unto me and be ye saved. That's what he's saying to each of us here. There's a sacrifice that was offered. And you see, in connection with the Lord's Supper, the people of God are to be looking again to Jesus, given that he is set before them in a particular way. Set before them by way of illustration. The broken bed as an illustration of Christ's bodily sufferings, and yes, in parallel with that, the sufferings of his soul, and correspondingly, his blood. Yes, Christ died. And the people of God are to be seeking assurance so that they might say, Christ died for me. If the Lord in further mercy, you see, these are people for whom Christ died. These are people that Christ gave himself for. They are saved. Assuming things are right. They are saved. But you see, if they have the assurance of being saved, then they can say, Christ died for me. Christ was crucified for me. Yes. You have Paul speaking in such terms. How much easier it was for Paul when he could speak in these terms. How much easier it was for him in all the difficulties that he had passed through, in all the sufferings that he endured, in all the responsibilities that he had to carry out in preaching the gospel and going from place to place and trying to speak to those who were without God and without hope in the world as yet. And how would he address people who had no knowledge at all about the way of salvation? How could he speak to them in their unbelief? Well, he could address the one who sent him out to preach the gospel. He would ask for guidance in what he would say. Why did he speak as he did in Mars Hill in Athens, although few were converted? It's because we would believe he was going to his master. And he might ask something like this, Lord, show me what I should say to the heathens here. Show me what I should tell people who are seeking in some degree after an unknown God. May I show them, may I put it to them who the unknown God is. May I show them why he came into the world. It was to save sinners. It was to show sinners about these sacrifices, which don't need to be offered anymore, because the one great sacrificer has come. The one great sacrifice has come. Show me how I should present the truth so that they might know what is to be done. Yes, we're told in verse 15 that when he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and slew it and offered it for sin as the first, and so on in that line of detail about sacrifice. Yes. And then we're told that Aaron's sons, priests themselves, were to bring the blood and sprinkle it upon the altar round about. You see, the evidence of the sacrifice was to be presented before God. And is that not what Christ did when he went into heaven itself? He came as the one who had been sacrificed. Yes. And we are to say in connection with Christ, as Paul did to the Hebrews, such an high priest became us. Is it a sacrifice that is suitable to us? That's the question. Is it a sacrifice that was suitable for us? Well, the great high priest is himself the sacrifice. And such an high priest became us. Such a high priest was suitable for us. Yes, suitable for all of us. Is that not a great matter? Such a high priest, the one who Christ gave, the one whom God the Father gave. He came into the world as one that was suitable. Could it be anything else but suitable? A sacrifice that God the Father chose. Altogether suitable. And he came. He came as one who was suitable. Now be thankful for that, and be thankful that you have it spelt out in Scripture. One who was holy, without blemish, holy, harmless, or innocent, free from guilt, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. The Father's choice. One who was his own son. And he was well pleased in his own son. And he was well pleased in the sacrifice that had been chosen. Yes. And we should be well pleased in him also. This is a Savior that is suitable for me. May we get grace to say that. This is a Savior that is suitable for me. Yes, and when you go to the Lord's table, God willing, on the next Sabbath, go with that idea in your mind. This is a Savior that is suitable for me. And seek grace to lay hold of Christ again as the one who offered himself up as a perfect sacrifice. Say it again and again to your soul. Lay hold on that by faith. This is a Savior that is suitable for me. The one who was given as a Savior. The one who laid down his life as a ransom for many. Yes, he is suitable for me. Let me lay hold on him again. By God's grace, the Lord's people are to understand that Christ was given for them. Yes. Well, seek to lay hold on him over again. That's part of the provision that is made in the Lord's Supper. Christ, in a remarkable way, set before them, by God's authority, you see, set before his people by Christ's authority, body and blood, in the bread and in the wine. Yes, this is a Savior that is still suitable for you. If you are coming with some sense of guilt, some sense of fresh guilt, come in the same way. Come saying, this is a Savior that is suitable for me. You see, I mentioned the high priest as being a sinner. Now, of course, I just repeat this. Jesus Christ was no sinner, not in any way at all, not a sinner. But you see, those who come to the Lord's table are sinners. They need to take fresh looks at the sacrifice. Yes. Another look is what is called for. Another look under the preaching of the gospel is called for. Another look and another look again. Even day by day. But not only that, but at every time the believer comes to the Lord's table, there should be another look at Christ as a Savior that is suitable for sinners. That's the thing. Christ as a sacrifice for sinners. And we might think of the power that is in the blood, which points me to say that the blood points to Christ's death. And the blood, in other words, the death of Christ, is to be applied to sinners at the Lord's table and under the preaching of the word. It's proclaimed. Christ is proclaimed. That's what we hear. Christ is to be proclaimed by the Lord's Supper. Proclaimed to our eyes. Proclaimed to our hands that handle the bread. It's all to be a pattern of the one who is still a sinner, but a converted sinner, laying hold of Christ, of the symbols of Christ's broken body and shed blood, laying hold of it by faith. The person at the Lord's table is to lay hold of the bread, physically, is to take hold of the cup that contains the wine, as symbols of the broken body and shed blood. Yes. And we are to, the Lord's people, are to lay hold of Christ as the one who died, as the one who rose again. The Lord's people are to lay hold of Christ spiritually, from their souls, to take hold of Christ That's the one who died. That's the one who rose again. Yes. What a great matter. The Lord's people. What an opportunity, you see. The Lord's people laying hold of Christ. Yes, they have done so as he has freely offered in the gospel. But they are to do so again as he has freely offered to them in the Lord's Supper. Yes, it's one that is suitable for them. It's one that has died for them. Even if this is what they would take hold of. As Christ is one that has died for sinners. Yes, Christ is one that has died for sinners. Yes, and they are addressed in this way. Ye were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish. You recognize the expression from what I was saying, what I was quoting from this chapter already. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Christ offered, yes, and Christ rising again. Now, there's a great matter in this chapter. It occurs twice again in Scripture. Where did they get the flame from to offer up the sacrifices? Well, it wasn't a case of them getting the flame from somewhere. It's this, that God sent fire down from heaven. Christ sending fire down from heaven. That's it. The fire came down from heaven to consume the sacrifice. And whether we can understand things or not, every part of the ceremonies in Israel, they had some spiritual significance. And one thing we are to understand here is that God accepted the sacrifice. God accepted the sacrifice. Wasn't that a wonderful thing? But, you see, there was no fire from heaven when Christ offered himself up. And therefore, we might have a question. Did God accept the sacrifice of Christ? And the answer is yes. It was done in a different way. It was by his resurrection that Christ's sacrifice was accepted. That it was by the resurrection that it was known that Christ's sacrifice was accepted. That's how it was known. And we are to look at the sacrifice, at the resurrection of Christ, and say that without a doubt, Christ's sacrifice was accepted. Without a doubt, we have strong certainty in going to the one who not only died, but who rose again, and saying, when God accepted the sacrifice, I should be receiving the benefits of that sacrifice too. He wasn't left in the grave. He was raised from the grave. There's salvation from him. He's on the right hand of God, making continual intercession. Yes. And you see, you have this, by his own blood, Christ entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Christ entered in, having obtained eternal redemption. He's obtained eternal redemption. And he went into heaven with the evidence of his death. And that indicates that there is salvation for sinners, that there's eternal redemption for sinners. That's what you have, eternal redemption. Oh, go to him then. Go to him. That's the one who died for sinners and rose again. So we must say something of the blessing that followed. When Christ came out from the temple, they had gone in after the sacrifices were offered, himself and Moses, but they came out and Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them. Yes, he blessed them. On the basis of the sacrifices that were offered for the people. Yes, and no doubt we're not to omit the sacrifices that he offered for himself, which made it suitable to believe that Aaron had had his sin washed away, or at least it was a symbol of that. But with Christ, it was the sin of all his people, the guilt of all his people that was washed away. Yes. And we are to look back to Christ entering into heaven. He enters heaven as to his human nature. He enters heaven with the evidence of the one who died. There's the marks in his hand. There's the wound in his side. These were evidence of Christ having died. And he goes into heaven and he has these evidences. And the people are to see him there, going in, having gone in, with the evidence of his death. He entered heaven on the basis of his blood. The blood poured out. And he is to make continual intercession on the basis of the benefits of his death. Yes. Now, you can think of the Savior. He led the disciples out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. He did so with real power to bless. He began to bless his disciples before he ascended to heaven, after the resurrection. And he is still blessing his people. He is still blessing his people in heaven, from heaven. Yes, and he will bless them to all eternity. He will continue to bless them. He will continue to bless them by his word and by what all the benefits he shows them on the basis of what he did in this world. Now, you can think of the high priest blessing Israel. You have it in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The complete intercession, that's what it amounted to, and was typical of the intercession of Christ. The Lord bless thee, that covers everything. Covers all the needs of the people of God. Yes, though this was within the ceremonial law just now. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And we are to remember that the matter of keeping is central to all other blessings. And in connection with the Lord's Supper, the people of God may say, may I hear thy voice. May I hear thy voice in blessing me. But you see, that's general. That's not to think lightly of it. But there's this in particular. The Lord keep me. That I would hear the Savior speaking to my soul and saying, in terms of his intercession, the Lord keep this sinner. What a great blessing to be kept. Now, kept from outward sin. That's a great blessing. But to be kept back from inward sins, isn't that a huge blessing? Now, the Lord's people certainly will not be freed from sin till they get into heaven. And then they will be completely free from sin. But you see, to be kept back from gross outward sin, that's a great matter. But also to be restrained from careless thinking, from careless words, from careless and careless sins outwardly, presumptuous sins, to use David's word. Presumptuous, willful sins comes very close to it. Oh, how dangerous to go willfully into sins. That was true of David. How much he suffered from that. But it was no doubt a restraint on him afterwards. I was left to myself. And I sinned so grievously. How much we need to be asking for God's blessing in that way. And then again, in the high priest's prayer, as he was instructed in that way, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord make his face to shine. You see, the shining of the face, no doubt, is a way of expressing a smile. And if we think of somebody smiling at one, there's at least something of kindly attitude. And if we can think in some way of God expressing a kindly attitude to sinners, it's an indication of acceptance. It's an indication of encouragement. And how we should be asking, if we are the Lord's children, that the Lord would cause his face to shine upon us. The Lord Jesus is the great high priest, that he would show a kindly side to us. And why? On what basis? Oh, we're back to this, the sacrifice that he has offered, that he would show his face kindly towards us, in encouraging us by his own word, in blessing us in our souls on the basis of what he did, and making clear to us that it is on the basis of what he did that he shows himself kindly to us. Yes. The Lord be gracious in every way, gracious in causing us to understand his word better, gracious in showing us benefits, saving benefits, and his willingness to grant further blessings, you see. And the Lord's Supper is a means of showing his favor. And we are to think of this. The Lord know that we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That we are justified and justified freely. If that's the case, it's by God's grace. It's in God's kindness. It's on the basis of what Christ has done. Yes. It's on the basis of what Christ has done. And it's on that basis that further benefits will come. Yes. Further grace, further keeping. How much we need all the blessings of the new covenant and to have a consciousness of these blessings. Yes. But you see, blessings are on the basis of Christ's finished work. Aaron came out to bless the people. And the people had their sins taken away according to the type, according to what was revealed in the sacrifices, which the people were to think of in relation to the finished work of Christ, of the seed of the woman coming in the future. Yes. And it's afterwards that he was given the words to use in blessing in Numbers 6. At least I assume it was afterwards. And you see, what's the New Testament equivalent to that? It's this. You hear it very often. You hear it just about every time you come here. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The high priest in Israel could only wish for the things in the blessing that he was instructed of in number 6. But you see, Christ's ambassadors, speak it. Speak these words. Give the benediction on behalf of Christ who sent them out. And he is able to bring about the blessings. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace that he gives, the love of God, God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, fellowship with God through the grace imparted by the Holy Spirit. That's the blessing. And we are to receive that blessing by faith. It's God that gives it, in particular the Holy Spirit for the sake of Christ. But we are to receive it. We are to seek grace to receive it. We are to believe that these things are given. Yes. And when Moses and Aaron came out and blessed the people, we read that the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. The glory of the Lord appeared. Yes. And they could go home saying, we have seen the glory of the Lord. We have seen the glory of the Lord. And no doubt that is a particular reference to the fire that came down on the sacrifice. But if we would think and get used to think of the glory of the Lord being revealed to sinners and ourselves in particular, whether for the first time or more often, the glory of God in the salvation of sinners, the glory of God in revealing sinners to himself, what a blessing that would be. And if we would be enabled to think about on these lines at the Lord's table, those who are to go, then what a blessing that would be, seeing the glory of the Lord manifested, the glory of the Lord Jesus manifested in his death, in his rising again, in sitting down at the right hand of the Father. Yes, what a blessing. How spiritually profitable that would be. And may the Lord's people be seeking that. And may those who are not the Lord's people as yet be seeking the manifestation of the Lord's glory to their own souls and to the souls of others. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Bless the truth to us. Give us some understanding of the Lord's Supper. And give thy children grace to profit by going. Grant that it would be brought home upon those who are thy children and have not yet professed thy name, that it would be brought home upon them. What is their duty in connection with the Lord's Supper being celebrated here according to thy command? Oh, give us thy blessing in every way. Bless us in all that we do on this Sabbath, and especially in the things that belong to our peace, in the things that belong to us getting a blessing and getting further blessings. Constrain us to be praying for spiritual blessings. Remember us for good and wash away our sin. Make us thankful. Be with us in the evening. Yes, we gather together again. Help us, Lord. Wash away our sin. Be our God and guide forever. For Jesus' sake. Amen.